You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
A lot of things are going to be changing around here in the coming days and weeks as Metalark Media grows, as the DraftKings Rocket Fuel helps us get everybody down here and make this a bigger thing. So Kate Fagan is coming in here on the show today, and she will be in with us next week as we are having some meetings. I think Amin is going to be in with us next week. I think some other people are going to be with us as well. And so you're going to hear from a lot of different voices. And I do think, Stugatz, there's going to be some resistance here as we grow and change, as there always is around change and evolution, because we've got a lot more voices coming through here and people sometimes like what they like. And if Chris Cody gets boxed out for a show because we've got a lot of activity around here, there's going to be some of that. And so just understand that these people are now being introduced to the family. They are friends. We are all in this together because everyone who's joined Metalark Media believes in the spiritual elements of what it is that we're trying to do here. So I want to talk to Kate Fagan about some of the things that she cares about here.
I trust the audience, though, Dan. It might take a minute for certain people. It might take a show or two. But if you're part of the family, you're part of the family, and the audience will embrace that.
So I don't know how, Kate, you feel about football and the draft, but I do know that you and Jessica both seem to be sort of terrified of Kim Mulkey, and she is now the coach at LSU, and she's throwing her mask in the air, and she's a bit of an unhinged lunatic who also has charisma, if that's how you measure charisma, and she is going to make them a powerhouse because she's a cult of personality in a region that likes its personalities and will trade whatever ethics it is that have to be traded at that school in the football program in order to get good at things. So I want you to explain to us the nature of your fear of Kim Mulkey and which among you two fears Kim Mulkey the most.
I've been debating whether or not my perspective on this signing by LSU of Kim Mulkey has been colored by the fact that Kim Mulkey tried to get me fired from ESPN. So therefore, maybe I look through a very dark lens at everything Kim Mulkey does. So I'm putting that on the table. But I feel like I'm in the minority when I have the perspective that I think the signing by LSU of Kim Mulkey is not just problematic, but I think bad for women's basketball. I actually don't think that women's sports, women's basketball, wants to just follow the model of throwing huge money at male coaches and in men's sports. Like, we all talk about the fact that when we see these coaches signing, what is it, $23 million, $50 million deals, they're like, it's terrible for college sports. So I don't see why having Kim Mulkey, who can get a bonus of $150,000 for winning the NCAA tournament, and gets a bonus of only 13K if her kids graduate in the top 1 to 10 percentile. Like, why is that the model that women's sports should be chasing? Women's sports is always chasing the model that men have created, right? Whether it's the WNBA chasing the NBA model, whether it's NCAA athletics chasing the money and the problems with the amateurism and the high level money and salaries. Like, I don't think that's the place that women's sports always needs to be. Like, I would rather have a program like LSU invest in a young upstart coach and cultivate that coach and add a new star to the Galaxy rather than just paying $24 million to transfer Kim Mulkey from Waco to LSU. I just don't think it does a ton for the women's game.
Well, in terms of who's more terrified of Kim Mulkey, I think, like, it's fair to say I am, because I think, Kate, you could probably take her. I think I would get my ass kicked. In terms of it being bad for women's sports, though, I agree. But I think, like, you know, you and I probably both have this vision of women's sports being this inclusive place where we can, like, foster that growth of, like, young upstart coaches coming up through the rankings instead of doing the college football model. But, like, yeah, that's not what the bottom line is in college athletics. And I think that that's not going to change anytime soon. The dollar is everything. So that's why you see someone like her getting hired. And I don't see a way around that in the near future.
But is that the model to be chasing? I think Kate's bringing up a point that I had not considered, which is the idea, does women's sports want to get to equality that way by selling their soul the same way men's sports do?
Right, but it's still a business, Kate. So I'm wondering, like, LSU has a job opening. She's one of the best coaches in college basketball. LSU has been to the Final Four many times. They've never won a national championship. So top of the food chain coach is there waiting for you, wanting to leave, wanting to come to LSU. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't think that I'm saying that LSU shouldn't have made this hire, that I don't understand it in the context of big business NCAA.
Right.
I'm suggesting that in women's sports, that money, let's say $24 million, like, whose life does that improve? In the grand scheme of college athletics, and maybe this is a Pollyannish view, I know I'm looking at it as like a utopia of what I think women's sports would want to be about, but that $23.6 million or whatever it is helps one person. That $24 million, if you look at all of the sports that actually apply, all of the sports that actually influence the experience of student athletes, like if you're looking at the tennis and volleyball, like, that all of that money, if LSU, I mean, and perhaps they have so much money, they're already doing this for every single sport. But if you look across the NCAA, like, that money and what women's sports wants to be about, that doesn't get us anywhere close to that. You can argue, and I would understand this argument, that, like, we've always said women's sports should be chasing what men's sports gets, right? Like, the U.S. women's national team is trying to get equal pay to the men's national team. I understand that that's the only view that women's sports has. That's the only model we have. And so we're constantly chasing it. And I'm suggesting that, like, I don't think it's the model women actually want. I don't want Kim Mulkey to have $24 million. I'd rather have every student athlete who steps on a campus is getting a really amazing experience. And that's not happening right now, as evidenced by everything we see that comes out of, like, the NCAA tournament and the weight rooms and all that. Like, not to mention Mark Emmert gets an extension through 2025 after the debacle that was the weight room. Like, tell me about your priorities if he just lived through that and now they're extending him to 2025.
This is the model, though, because I forget the statistic, but I think something in, like, the 90% range, that's how many athletic departments are run by men, specifically, yeah, you know, white men. And so there has never been a national conversation about how women's sports can actually be better than men's sports and break away from that model, because the people running the sport are still men. And so, yeah, this is just, like, what we're going to keep seeing, and I don't really know how you undo the cycle of that.
Well, I think pretty soon, I mean, I don't know about pretty soon, but I know the model of, like, the Super League in that, I know, you know, Mike and you guys had an awesome conversation about that last week, but I think this is an important conversation, not just looking at Kim Mulkey making $24 million and how women's sports wants to be, but there's a future, and I don't know how soon it is, where the top football schools create their own Super League. Like, they don't want to be tied to Title IX, and they don't want to be tied to academics in the same way they're tied to academics. So we could say that this is, like, well, this is the model, and, like, this women's sports, it's the only model they have is to chase what the men do. But I do think in the foreseeable future, football schools and all of that money is going somewhere else. And at that point, what does women's sports do? What does it want to be about? Does it want to just mimic and continue doing what's always been done? Or at that point, is it going to be more about actually creating good experiences for all student athletes rather than seven coaches making, you know, 50% of all the money that's in women's sports?
It is so utopian and Pollyanna. She wants women to be better. Again, she wants women to be better than men about more principle. Don't get corrupted.
Women are better than men.
Don't get corrupted by the money. You are saying all the right things spiritually, but if you want equality, equality is the business, Kate. Like, that's the, it's how do we make money here? Not believe in principles or Title IX or whether women should actually have the power at the top of these universities. No, how does it make money? And you can't make money purely. Everyone's yelling at us today for doing it through a gambling outfit. Like, there's no purity in making these transactions. And you're calling for, hey, let's be better. Let's do sports the exact right utopian Pollyanna way. And they're laughing at you. They're like, what sports are you watching if you want it to be something other than business?
Yeah, but like, what... how does Kim Mulkey's contract make sense from a capitalist point of view? Like, you can look at all, like, 23, 24 million, maybe, what are we paying for 24 million? Is Kim Mulkey worth 24 million in actual capitalistic dollars? Or is there a world in which LSU has tons of money and they have to make a statement and they want to go, you know, Title IX equality and they want to raise up women's basketball? And I do understand all of that. But at the same time, like, you can't look at all of women's sports and say that the money they get paid within the NCAA is actual value dollar for dollar. Like, there is an imbalance there between, like, what a field hockey coach is making. Let's say it's $90,000. That field hockey coach is not bringing in $90,000 worth of revenue to the school. It's all part of this very strange landscape. So it's not as if I'm suggesting even that, I don't even understand how Kim Mulkey from a capitalist point of view is worth $24 million.
I think from like a financial balance sheet point of view, athletic departments have never made sense, right? Because I think most of them purposely run at a deficit so that they don't have to pay the players. But I do think that, like, what I've seen the last few years as the W has gotten more popular and women's college basketball has become more popular and the U.S. women's national team has become more popular, is now the power brokers at the top of the sport don't see women's sports as an amazing viewing experience or just a good sport in itself, but they see it as a way to make money. So now I think you're going to see more investments into women's sports, not because the people making these decisions have passion for, you know, Kim Mulkey and what she can do at LSU, but because they see, wow, we can sell a lot of LSU women's basketball jerseys in 2 years if they make the Final Four.
Well, I think you make a great point, because I guess what I'm trying to say when I boil it all down is that if I wanted $24 million to go into women's sports, I would want it to go into like creating like a betting stream for women's sports, right? Because you put money on women's sports, then people pay attention to it. I want to create all kinds of different like investment in women's sports. I'm just not sure that $24 million in Kim Mulkey gets women's sports really to the place that everybody's been reacting as if it gets them. Like, oh, this is huge. This is transcendent. I don't think so. I think there are a lot better ways to invest in women's sports than paying one person a ton of money. I think there's a lot of ways that women's sports lacks that money can actually turn around more eyeballs and more interest than one program.
As a father who has a daughter that's going to play women's lacrosse in college, I ask both of you, why can't it be both? Why can't you spend $24 million on Mulkey, and why can't every single student athlete have a great experience when they go to college? Why can't it be both?
I mean, my impression has always been, like, having been in the system, is that This signing and signings like it are a way to make a splash without doing any hard work. You know, it usually doesn't come hand in hand. It's like, oh my God, if we go get Kim Mulkey, we're not just paying her to hopefully win national titles. We're paying so that we can say that we're doing the right thing. We're paying her so we can bring her in and we can kind of be like this. Because we don't want to do the hard work of like making sure the volleyball, the field hockey, all of this are like running smoothly. There are these big splashy moves that are supposed to like think we're moving the needle, splash, but everything is just stuck underneath still.
Exactly. And at LSU, it's not even that. It's like there are these other scandals swirling throughout the athletic department. So look at us bringing in this hire. We care about women's sports, but do we give a shit about our female employees and athletes in the first place? I mean,
yeah, it's like a bit. I do want to go back to the original point, though, which is that you think you're more scared of Kim Mulkey than I am, because I can tell you that the undercurrent of this whole conversation is my desperate fear of Kim Mulkey and the thought that she could listen to this conversation. That has been the undercurrent.
Well, yesterday
of this entire
or Tuesday, I thought the big news on Tuesday was the poll that said, "Will Kim Mulkey kick your ass with a smile on her face?" And now you have to understand.
She will,
but you have to understand. Thank you, Stugatz, for all your expertise in
these. Check the results.
In this
I know
arena.
The results. Yeah.
Thank you, but Kate Fagan, you have to understand something about for her to be scared of someone from college basketball. Kate Fagan has climbed through the labyrinth that is. You have to be tough to play in that sport at a time that it was tough to play in that sport. So for her to be scared of a piranha woman who is running the LSU, you know, she's getting all of this money. And I understand for her to be specifically scared, as Jessica's in the chat saying that Kate is easily the coolest person ever on the show and literally goals, she has said, is what Kate Fagan is. Like, we cannot have a world in sports where Kate Fagan is also terrified of a coach, but that's equality for real, because we were all scared of Jimmy Johnson and Nick Saban and everyone else. Yes, the model in the men's game is give the coach all the money, they'll bring us fame, they'll get there very fast, but they'll bring us fame, and then that'll make the program matter as we continue to pay the men or the women in power, the older people, to be the faces and voices for these teams.
85% of the audience said yes.
With a smile on her face, though? Do you think it would be a smile?
I know there'd be a smile, yes. You she takes so? Delight in beating people up.
Why yep. is Kate...
It'd be like the purple devil emoji with the smile.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is Kate... why were you saying that she's easily the coolest person ever on the show?
Yeah, and please, Jess. I mean, if you want to expound on that.
Why was I saying Kate was the coolest person? I mean, look at her. Look at her headphones. Look at her fit. Look at her hair. Like, come on. Like, look at me, for example. I'm just kind of like a schlub in a t-shirt. Kate has, like, styled her hair this morning. She has, like, this cool setup behind her.
Yeah. I mean, she has points. Many good points. So
it's definitely Kate or Greg.
I just don't understand how Jessica feels like such an authority around here after 3 days that she has proclaimed.
I mean, she's 27. She wins this one. Let's have a drip check.
I'm 26.
You're 27
26.
This weekend.
Stop prematurely aging me.
Let's have a drip check real quick. Kate, you show your shoes, and Greg, you show yours.
Yes.
We'll put this
Greg,
on social.
Let's see what we've got here. We will put this on. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
see,
wow.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think his foot is literally dripping
there
with something.
Is fungi dripping off of it.
Can we see that again?
No, please. No, nobody wants to see that again.
No.
Did you pull that out of one of those 30-year-old boat shoes, Greg? Is that what just happened?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was entombed in a deck shoe about a half hour ago.
All right, well, where is that now? Is that now under your desk?
Entombed is such a great word.
Entombed is the best verb he could have possibly used there. Entombed is the shoe there. Can you show, please? I think the women will be mortified, Greg, that you've had four pairs of shoes for the last 30 years and three pairs of shoes. Because Kate's sneaker game is big, Greg, and so you show her the shoe that's under the... Tell us the history of the shoe that's under the desk right now, please.
I buy, or my wife buys for me, a new pair of brown deck shoes about once every 3 years because they're very durable, and as much as I wear them, it's tough to wear out a deck shoe because my deck shoe is never actually on a deck getting wet. You know, I just use it for everyday... banging around town. So, my deck shoe is a young deck shoe. I think it's only about a year old. It's in my garage right now, not right beneath me. So, dang anything.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer cals and carbs than premium regular beer.
Greg, does your big toenail, your great toenail, sort of have that rainbow type shine? If I were to like open a clam, you know, you understand what I'm talking about?
Right.
I imagine it does.
Sure.
I do imagine.
But just with different shades of yellow.
Yes, yellow and purple.
It has an iridescence to it. Yes.
Can you hold up the toenail, the front of the toenail, to your computer screen so we can?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, let's see. Yeah. It's of mortal length right now. You know, there's nothing extraordinary.
No, but show it to the ladies. I'm guessing it is a blue talon. There's a hue of purple in it.
Just show it to Kate and Jess, and please know that I have cut this toe, this exact toe, twice I have cut it.
Oh, there it is. There it is, ladies. There is a rainbow, yes, shooting off of the foot. Kate.
I like how you're saying ladies as if I'm any less disgusting.
This
than
is an HR violation of some kind.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's like the implicit belief there that men should be more willing to accept this. Yeah. I was going to say disgusting, but I don't want to be offensive.
Thank you.
It was coming from a pure place. Dan just wanted you to suffer through that the way that we all have here in the past.
Correct. You're the only two that hadn't seen it. That's
yeah, welcome to the party.
What a horror.
Whose toe is worse, Greg's or Shaq's?
Greg's. Yeah, because Greg's, maybe you couldn't tell from the angle that you saw it, but that is 6 inches thick.
Yes.
And green.
Yes. Yeah, well, green with yellow, but what he's saying.
You can find fossil fuels if you drill down to the center of it.
What Mike is saying that is an absolute truth is it absolutely has is the incandescent sparkle of when a clamshell is opened and is hit by the light just so. It's like Anthony Rizzo on the horizon when it connects with your seashell, because it is. If you saw it on the beach, Mike, if it was independent of the rest of Greg Cody's decomposing body, it would look like some sort of clamshell seashell in thickness, hard to open. And again, Stugatz has cut it not once, but twice with right. Not as much clippers, as much as like a couple of hatchets, right? Like it's the reason.
Like we were trying to cut through a chain link fence.
Deeply exactly. Unpleasant. That's correct.
Well, this is jeans, because you should have seen Wild Bill Cody's toenails. They literally were clamshells. I mean, not literally. I hate when people misuse that word. But they were thick as clamshells, and they were also oversized, my late great dad's clamshell toes. They were almost the size of your fist, his toenails. The great ones, not the small ones.
What made Wild Bill wild? Because you just say Wild Bill Cody a lot, and I've never really asked you why he was Wild Bill Cody.
I mean, that was his nickname. You know, when you grow up named Bill Cody, you know, somebody's going to call you Wild Bill, and it stuck.
He's right. He's right. So, he deserves that nickname. You're right.
Can we please get to the only reason that Greg Cody is here today? He's graced us here on a Thursday, and at the center of everything that has exploded around Metal Arc Media is the nepotism of show-killing failure that the Cody family across generations has besmirched our show with. Thank you, Greg, for all that you do around here. And let's get to the only thing you want to talk about, which is your draft, your what you put in the paper with your exactos and your podcast. These are the only things that he cares about. It's the only reason he has endured the entirety of today's show.
This is a big night for this show. The Dolphins control the draft. The Jets have the second pick in the draft. Mike is no longer a fan of the draft because he's a Browns fan and his team is good, but it's in Cleveland. It's a big night.
So if you want more from Stugatz on the draft, because we are not on tomorrow, Stugatz will be doing his own podcast, right? What are you doing tomorrow off of the draft?
It will be part of this show. Me, Chris Cody, hopefully Greg, if he'd like to be involved. Anyone who wants to be involved can be involved. We'll do a little draft recap tomorrow morning. And
Recap is better. Let's call it the let's call it the Dolphin and Draft. Perfect. Recrap with Stugatz.
We stumble into this.
Where
stuff.
Do
it's
we
amazing.
Find it?
On the Lebatard show feed, normal show feed. If you can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because it's It's been a bit laborious so far today, but you can count me out. I'm not signing up for that re-crap. This, Dan, you and I, we've been like-minded for years. This tiresome exercise and hope draft.
Go fuck yourself.
That is just made for bad teams and fan bases that have been left out in the cold for decades on end. It's just so stupid. It's made for television. We hype this thing up for months on end as if we know anything. We know nothing. You know what's sexy? Do a TV special 7 years from now and we can actually grade the draft. I mean, you guys with your bad team reeking of desperation, count me out. I'm boycotting this nonsense. It doesn't mean anything.
Is that why you're wearing your NFL hat today? Your Rob Lowe NFL hat?
First draft day, he has not worn a Browns hat. You're right. That's a good observation.
I'm wearing it ironically because I could give three shits about this night. Wall-to-wall coverage and people pretending like they know something when they know nothing. Oh, man. And now we have fans back as if sitting around for 12 minutes is any sort of exciting before your team does something that you will inevitably regret because most of these high-priced draft picks end up busting out. It is a foolish exercise, and I pity those who get excited over it.
Who's the best quarterback in the draft?
I like Zach Wilkes.
Oh. Yeah.
It's all right.
I botch it.
Just say it. Just say it.
You got to stop feeding me things while I'm talking. I like Zach Wilson.
Well, do you think that there's any kind of insight that can be gleaned? Like people who think that they're good at drafting players, who believe that they have some tidbit of info that sets a player apart. Do you think that that just doesn't exist at all?
If the Browns trade back up, potentially, then I'm all ears. But when you're a perennial playoff team like the Cleveland Browns seem to be, and you've already addressed so many team needs, and you're picking in the 20s, I mean, you really can't work up any excitement for it.
This has had to be a very tough stretch for Urban Meyer because it's lying season, Dan, and the ultimate liar has not been able to lie. Like, I feel like there's a big lie coming tonight from Urban Meyer. I think he is going to take Justin Fields and not Trevor Lawrence. How about that? I mean, trade the first pick, right? Get a haul, move down to like 6 or 7, take the quarterback that you really want and have 3 future first round picks. And the only reason he's going to do it is because he hasn't lied yet. That's why.
I mean, I feel like we have an expert here, someone who does mock drafts, gets his perfectos every year, Greg Cody. And we haven't heard from his mock draft yet, Dan.
Yeah, well, Trevor Lawrence going number one is about the only guarantee in the whole draft. Yeah. But, Miami is actually very interesting at 6. I don't know how serious we want to get about draft talk, but there's a scenario where they could get Kyle Pitts. It's not likely, but there is a scenario. And if Atlanta would trade down or draft Matt Ryan's replacement, that would be huge. And Cincinnati has a legitimate choice between Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell. They could very well take Penei Sewell. So there is a scenario that where Miami could get Kyle Pitts without trading up. I doubt if it'll happen, but there is a scintilla of hope there if you're a Dolphins fan.
I mean, if I cared one iota about this dreadful night on the sports calendar, I'd push back and say the Dolphins are going to live to regret this decision to make that trade with the San Francisco 49ers because they're going to miss out on Kyle Pitts, who was brilliant on today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. And they traded back up to 6. I feel like you're playing yourself, and you know whatever quarterback Kyle Shanahan gets at number 3 is going to be one of those people in the photo graphic for years to come about what happened in this trade. So you're lining up a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan's taking in a very quarterback-friendly offense, along with you not being able to draft Kyle Pitts because he's going off the board. If I cared at all, I'd rub it in your faces, but I don't.
But can the Dolphins get Pitts? They kind of control the draft, right, Greg? They have enough picks to go get Pitts.
He's not going to be there at 6.
No, they can get up to 4,
though. No, Stugatz has got him trading up after they traded down. Yeah. Like, why are you doing that? Like, what are you doing? They had the position.
That's so foolish. So you're just going to try to trade back up to a position, one slot that you originally had? It's just foolish. I don't care.
No, they won't do that. But look, the hype on Kyle Pitts, we don't know that he's going to live up to the hype. The choice for Dolphin fans could vary. Let's say they get a little bit of luck and get Ja'Marr Chase. Then the either or, the balance is Kyle Pitts' future versus Ja'Marr Chase plus an extra 23 first round draft pick. That's what you have to weigh. And I don't think it's a clear call. You know, I don't assume that Kyle Pitts is going to have a greater career than Ja'Marr Chase. I don't.
Dolphin fans need to mentally prepare for the fact that they're going to probably get Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle. And he's a stud, Dan. I know you're going to do that thing, Dan.
It's infuriating, Chris.
I know, but he's good.
Oh,
Chris,
man. But, well, I mean, really, you're breaking down offensive lineman tape.
People tell me he's good.
that sometimes works, if I cared.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I assure you I'm not going to live to regret Mac Jones going to the 49ers.
They're not going to Mac Jones. Come on now.
They're not taking Mac Jones.
No.
Don't kid yourself. I mean, seriously. No.
Greg, the Dolphins, look, I have been someone who hasn't been paying attention to the crud. So. You guys know the history here. We've made a lot of fun of it around here. I left journalism for a year following around Jake Long. This is how bad my history with this team and this position is, that I left journalism because I was at the draft and I'm like, I can't be following around Jake Long to talk to his dad about how they're meatheads who are going to change the Dolphin history. And so I quit for a year. I'm like, I can't do this with my career. This happened with Kate when she was on Around the Horn, and she's like, not another Chris Paul question. And now right. after all those years
oh,
since,
I love the Chris Paul
we're
question.
Back in this offensive lineman. After a year in which we saw they couldn't block or get skill guys who could do anything for Tua, so it's almost fundamentally impossible to make any kind of evaluation on what Tua actually is because of how little help he has. So after 15 years of Parcells and everyone else coming in here, we're going to take linemen. We're going to be tougher than everyone else as the sport has evolved beyond that. I don't want them to take an offensive lineman today. I want them to take the best athlete I saw in college sports last year. This Pitts kid, when I saw the Florida offense, that Florida offense looked like the most professional thing I saw in the sport, more than Alabama, more than anything. I'm like, Trask throwing to Pitts, that looks professional to me, and I want to see him in a Dolphin uniform, and they traded out of the ability to do that, I think. If they get him at six, they got value, and they look like geniuses.
Right. No, they're not going to take Sewell, I don't think, although that'll certainly be a consideration. They're either going to – the choice is if they don't get Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to take Devonta Smith. You know, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's played with Tua. He'd be an exciting choice as well. And again – I don't assume right now that Kyle Pitts is going to have a better NFL career than Devonta Smith or Ja'Marr Chase. I don't.
Dan, you got to get out there. If Pitts is not available and those receivers are available, which one would you rather the Dolphins have?
The problem with what it is that Cody is saying there is I get scared as the sport changes in terms of physical evolution. Pitts is where the sport is going. In terms of there is the thing that you, the creature you throw to that is Kelce, that is Waller, that you, no one can guard it. It's just throw it over there and you will have a tight end who will get you 150 yards a game because it cannot be guarded.
Pitts and Gesicki, by the way.
No, but, and the other guy you're talking about is 166 pounds and it scares me, but I can't tell you which one of them is more likely to be hurt because if you ask me, is there any chance that Pitts is not going to be a great professional? The only thing that stops that from being is if he gets hurt. What bet do you make if you got two guys, one of them's 166 pounds and the other is one of these mutant tight ends that can't be guarded? Which one's more likely to get hurt?
Greg, this draft for the Dolphins should be about getting weapons for Tua, should it not? We have no idea how good he is, and we're not going to know how good he is until he gets weapons.
Greg, it can't be another offensive lineman. I don't care how good he is. They told me that about, like, they've gotten in this position because they traded Tunsil to get in this position. Go get game breakers. No more offensive linemen.
I agree with you. And by the way, Devonta Smith at 166 pounds, they're going to put 10 pounds on him. But my point is, he does not have an injury history, and we shouldn't assume an injury proneness because of his weight. 3 straight years at Alabama, he played double-digit games. So I think it's unfair to say, well, he's small, he's slight, so therefore he's going to be injured. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think you can say that.
You gave us the serious. Now give us what you want said about your mock draft, what you want people to know about the Greg Cody Show podcast. Give us all the information you got so you can get what you need out of life here by being around here for a little while. And thank you for gracing us with the foot and the clamshell.
You're welcome. Well, what I would say about the mock draft is that it's an exercise in futility when you're bragging about 7 exactos out of 32 picks. So, you know, it's like you can't win doing a mock draft. As far as the podcast, I'm happy to talk about it just a little bit because we have Mina Kimes on from ESPN. She's great. We talk NFL draft and Dolphins, and she and I take a geography quiz, so that's sort of fun.
Jessica doesn't seem to be interested at all in what it is that you have to say, because what's happening in the chat right now is just a whole lot of questions about how much water Jessica drinks a day. Nobody is listening to you yammer about your podcast or your draft coverage. Not even someone third day on the job bossing right. Everyone around telling.
That was my fault.
That, first of all, it was Kate's fault. Sorry, Kate. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but you did ask if I had to say. Yeah, it's a 36-ounce Yeti Rambler. Second of all, I do love the Dolphins talk. However, I was so put off by Mike's annoying Browns thing where they won one playoff game, so he thinks that suddenly he's superior to everyone else, that I really had to mentally take myself out of it for a minute because it made me so disgusted.
Who'd we win against? I wasn't exactly sure.
Yeah, you have one playoff win. Congratulations. We're so proud of you. Good job, Browns fans. Mm-hmm. You guys did so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cute. You won a playoff game. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.